Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
I'm Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and I welcome you again to this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer. It is such a blessing, it is always a blessing, to receive your prayer intentions and to pray with you for all of those special things that you hold in your hearts. And we do experience a peace when we know that we aren't holding those things within, that we're not burying them, but that we are sharing them and placing them in the hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's a very freeing experience when we do that also. Now, I have a special program prepared for you today, and it centers around a very beautiful painting that through my adult life took on such a special significance. I'm going to take you through five or six different parts of my life, starting in the late 1800s. No, I wasn't born in the late 1800s, but the painting was. And you will see the role, the healing role that it played in my life and in the lives of many, many others. So this is exciting. This is going to be an exciting day. The painting is called The Madonna of the Streets. I have it right here. I'm going to show you. And it's by Roberto Ferruzzi. He called it Madonnina, the little Madonna. Now, I'm going to hold this up, and those of you who are on Facebook will be able to see it, but those of you who are on radio, I'm going to tell you to go to your cell phone or your laptop and put in there, put in Madonna of the Streets, and it will come up. It's a very famous painting, and you will see it come up right away. It's in many, many homes all over the world, everywhere. Madonnina, the Madonna of the Streets. Now, this is the month of Our Blessed Lady, and it's a perfect time to share this story with you. So I'm going to keep it here for now. I'll show it to you again. Isn't it beautiful? Look at the faces. How beautiful. Roberto Ferruzzi, the hand of God, was in that man's hands when he did this. I'm going to keep it here for now, and we'll get back to that, okay? We're going to begin with prayer, as we always do, and then we'll go to your prayer intentions. And then I'll share this story with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, as we go through life, we often feel that our timing always seems to be a little off. We want those loose ends in our lives to come together, but we can't seem to make the pieces fit according to our plan and in our time schedule. And Lord, it frustrates us. Sometimes we even question you. Where are you, God? You're taking too long to answer me. But if we can trust and pray and wait out our situation, we may be able to see that the whole time that we thought there was no movement in our lives, you, Lord, were ever so gently weaving a beautiful tapestry in our lives. You, Lord, have the thread of life in your hands, and you can take that thread and weave into the fabric of our lives the people, the places, the things that will eventually impact our lives and bring about the result that you choose for us. Lord, you are the divine weaver, and only a God who truly loves us so much would take the time to weave our tapestry together. In your time, Lord, and in your way, not mine. Lord, please give us the patience to know that you're not only our God, you are our friend. And you wouldn't want second best for us. I am your child. And you want for me everything that will raise me up to you to receive your precious gifts, Lord, the gifts that you picked for me. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. My dear friends, the Lord is at this very moment weaving your tapestry. Believe that. It's happening. Now, I have our telephone numbers here that I'd like to give you. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. I'll give them to you again. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Now, I have some prayer intentions already here. And as you know, you are an important part of this prayer ministry on our Friday Day of Healing. I always ask you to join us in prayer, and Kathleen McCarthy always says she has the best prayer warriors on this in our Sign Catholic Radio. And that is true. We get many answers to our prayers through your prayers. And the last program I did was on the Communion of Saints, and I shared with you that we're not alone. When we pray for these intentions, all the saints in heaven are praying with us. The holy souls in purgatory are praying with us. And you and I are praying. The church militant, we're praying for these intentions. So that's why we get such beautiful results with them. Now, we're going to begin. As I said, we have a few intentions right here. And I'm going to start with this wonderful one. Time to start off with something special, huh? Lily was that young lady, 17 years old, who had a large tumor on her pancreas the size of an apple. And these wonderful doctors did not know what it was. They didn't know the type of cancer. They were afraid to operate on her because it may spread, and they didn't know where it was going. So for a while, she had to deal with a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. They even put her in a renowned cancer facility to take care of her. And every 3 months, she has to get tested. Well, now Lily turned 18, interested in college. She applied to this college near her because she has to go in the hospital every 3 months for testing. She applied to the college, and they were waiting for an answer, and the college accepted her. Well, her parents really are not people of means. In fact, her father, about a year and a half ago, fell and broke his sternum. He hasn't worked in a year and a half. So the parents wrote to the college and said, look, we'll pay as we are able. Are there any grants we can use or anything like that? Well, the college wrote back to them. And the college is giving Lily a full-paid 4-year scholarship. Is that wonderful? They know she has to go every 3 months to be tested for this cancer. She has to be tested. And they're giving her a full scholarship. That is such an answer to prayer. Lily, we're so happy for you. We thank Louise for that intention that she gave us. And we've been at it. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. And we say the same thing for Landon, the little 3-year-old and 4-year-old now, who had all kinds of chemo treatments and radiation and everything. And it appeared that he had been healed. And then we find out he's back in Children's Hospital. And we were praying to the Infant of Prague for him. Well, the very next day I heard that in the mail came a little package. And it had a picture of the Infant of Prague. It had a prayer to the Infant of Prague and a medal. And I grabbed that little pouch and I put it on me. And I said, you're staying with me and on me till we get good news here with Landon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank all of you for praying for these children. They're such beautiful children. Now, we got some recent prayer intentions right over here. We have, we have Michael for medical issues, and Elizabeth is an elderly woman with many medical issues, so we don't know what those medical issues are, but the Lord knows, and we're going to pray for both of you for that. Elizabeth, I remember your name. I believe you had a situation where money was taken out of your bank or something. You went through a difficult time, and at the same time, I was going through that. Fortunately, they did find this and get it back, and I'm praying the same thing has happened for you, Elizabeth. But for your medical issues, we pray for them, and we pray the Lord God to completely heal you and Michael with these issues. Okay, we have here, let's see, we're praying for Sharon. Sharon is praying for her friend Brenda. Brenda passed away, and we express our condolences to you, Sharon. Also, Joan Nave had many, many friends, and she went home to the Lord. And we have another one here. We're praying for the repose of the soul of John Andrus. John is the grandfather of Reef. And we take these three beautiful souls. I said we prayed for the communion of saints, and this is it. These three have passed, and we're interceding to the saints, the holy souls, and all of you here on earth for the repose of their souls as we pray. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay, we have, Julie has a new job. And she wants prayer for her new job. Congratulations, Julie. We're proud of you. I'm glad that has happened for you, and I know you're happy. And just be at peace. Just go in, be yourself. Don't panic. Just be yourself. Be a loving person, and they will love you. You'll do the job. We're not worried about you, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to see to it that you're going to do that job and do it well. And for Francesca, has breast cancer and other issues, and we pray for you, Francesca, for your breast cancer. It is just so common today. I'll be honest with you, I went through that myself, and praise God, the Lord has brought me through that, and He will bring you through it, and I will pray for you, Francesca, that He will bring you through that. Be at peace, Francesca. We pray for your peace. Okay, let's see. We have Francesco. We have Francesco. He was in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital. He had a heart attack, and he was he's the father of my dear godchild, her friend, went to school with her friend. That's the father of him, and we're praying for him. We hope he's out of the hospital soon. And again, in that area of recovery from heart issues, we have Dave. Dave needs a valve replacement. Dave, these doctors today are so wonderful, and we're praying for the hand of God to be in that surgery when you have that valve replaced, and the same for you, Francesco. Whatever you're going through, the Lord Jesus Christ is the surgeon in that room. Just believe that and accept that. So we pray for them. Praying for... B is praying in thanksgiving. We prayed before for Sophia, her granddaughter Sophia, who had breast cancer. She went through all kinds of treatments, and she was going through them and doing well for a while. She was getting ready for reconstructive surgery, and then it went to her back, and she had to go through everything all over again. So, Sophia, we know how you suffered. Well, now she's through that. She's been through all of that. And now she's going to go through infusions because she wants to have a child. That is so beautiful, Francesca. Sophia. That is so beautiful, Sophia. And we're going to pray for that to be okay for you. The first infusion you have here didn't work, but she's going to have another one. And we're going to pray for you for that. Be also for her grandson. She was out to dinner with him, and her grandson was having a lot of difficult issues emotionally, and she's been praying for him for a long time. And she was so excited because she said he looked and he was feeling much better. We've been praying for him, B. We've been praying for your grandson. And she said he made a big change. She saw it at that dinner. And we're happy for you, B. We're happy for him. And we will keep up our prayers and thank you for all the prayer warriors out there who have been praying for this situation. Thank you so much for both of them. That is so beautiful. And we have a Rita here. Rita is 85. Rita has heart issues, so many heart issues. Oh, we go to the Sacred Heart of Jesus to take that heart of his and pour his blood into their hearts. Rita twice had colon cancer. It's now in remission. Now in remission. But she found out 6 months ago that her son came down with cancer. He came down with lymphoma. And Rita, I just know that whatever suffering you went through with your own cancer, your heart must be broken hearing about your son. So we're going to go right to the top. We're going to St. Rita. For you, we're going to St. Rita, Rita. And this is the week of her novena, the novena of St. Rita. Her feast is May 22nd. And we're asking St. Rita to go to bat for you, Rita, for your son, that lymphoma is healed. I also go to my sister, Rita, who died of pancreatic cancer. And I know she's up in that kingdom. And Rita, you gather all those Ritas up there, and you pray for our Rita down here, okay? I know you're going to do that, and all of our family up there is going to do that. Okay, so we have all these wonderful prayer intentions, and I thank you. I thank you for that. Now, I told you I had the Madonna of the Streets, that wonderful story about my life that I was going to share with you. Now, the first part of the story began one day when I walked into my parents' home, and my dad handed me a cardboard box, and there were some things in it, and he said to me, "Here, can you use this in your work?" Well, my work was giving concerts in honor of our Blessed Lady and our Lord and Savior Jesus, and I didn't know what he had in there, so, you know, my dad loved to go to auctions. He loved to do that, and I knew that whatever was in that box that he was handing me, I knew he had to get it at the auction. When people go to auctions, sometimes they bid on what they call lots. Now, I never did this, but he loved it. And if you bid on a lot and you win, you keep what's in that box. And it could be a big surprise because you don't really know what's in there. You just bid on it. And that was my dad's love. He loved to do that. Well, on this particular day, he handed me this box, which set off a chain reaction of events in my life. I opened the box, and in that box was a tapestry rolled up. And when I unraveled it, when I unraveled that tapestry, I saw the magnificent old tapestry of the Madonna of the Streets. It was exactly like the original painting of the Madonnina, the little Madonna. And now, this painting found itself in many, many homes all over the world. But it was the first time I saw this image captured on a tapestry in such a magnificent way. It caught the authenticity of that painting. It was very rich looking. It was 3 feet long and 2 feet wide, and it was exquisite. The head of the Madonna was covered with a gold scarf. I don't know if you could see that. It was covered with a gold scarf. And there was a maroon design on the scarf. Now notice, a dark blue shawl was draped over her shoulders. That's an important point. Remember that, the dark blue shawl over her shoulders. And posed to the side, there she was with a profile effect. See the profile effect? She was lovingly holding the baby, representative of the baby Jesus. And the baby was wearing a white dress, which was, again, one would see that in many infants of that era, the late 1800s. The infant is sleeping on his mother's breast, and the faces of mother and baby are beyond description. So delicate, tender, warm, beautiful, ethereal. And to gaze at it is to know that the hand of God, as I said, came through that artist's brush. I was blessed to be the recipient of that tapestry that my father gave me. And yes, I have used it in my work. I put it right on the altar when I'm giving my concerts. And people come up afterwards to touch it, to feel it, to take pictures of it. It is so magnificent. Now this leads me to part two of my witness. I was about to release a new tape, a CD entitled, "You Are the Highest Honor of Our People." And I decided to use the picture of the Madonna of the Streets on the cover of that CD. So when it was released, I sent copies to the Christian bookstore in Norristown, PA. And I received a telephone call from a beautiful woman there. Her name was Mary Peffley. She was the proprietor, and her husband, Bill, they were the proprietor of the Catholic shop in Norristown, and they had many different religious articles there. In fact, Bill himself put out a couple of albums on Our Blessed Lady, and he wrote the song, "There Was a Man Called Joseph and He Lived." Remember that beautiful song? Anyway, she told me that her son Francis Pefley was recently ordained a priest, and he used that picture of the Madonna of the Streets on his ordination booklet. And she said to me, I'm going to send you the fascinating story behind this painting. Well, I was anxious to get that information because in the past, I had heard other versions of this story that did not sit well with me at all. Now, to show you how beautiful Mary was, for 1 year, she was the personal secretary to Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. She was his secretary. And she and her husband were the first people just about in the Legion of Mary. In fact, Mary and Bill are both now with the Lord. And I know they're listening to this. Well, within a few days, I received the newspaper article that Mary sent me. And she explained in detail through that article the incredible story behind the painting of the Madonna of the Streets. I'm going to share with you this story that was verified in the original logs of the artist Roberto Foruzzi, which were uncovered by the artist's grandson. And guess what his grandson's name was? Roberto Foruzzi. You will be inspired as I continue the third part of this wonderful story. I'm going to read that article for you as it appeared in the newspaper. And this is what it says. About 40 years ago, Sister Angela Marie Bovo, a sister of St. Joseph of Carondelet, set out in search of her ancestral roots. Sister was one of 10 children, and her parents emigrated from Venice, Italy in 1906. They came to America, and Sister Angela was born in America in California. But sadly, in 1929, her father died in the flu epidemic. Her mother was left alone. She was unable to speak English, and she was left to support 10 children, the youngest of whom was 6 months old. She couldn't handle all of this pressure and responsibility, and she suffered an emotional breakdown and was hospitalized. Of course, no husband, couldn't speak English, no money. She suffered a breakdown. I continue with this newspaper article. The 10 children were all placed in orphanages and foster homes, but miraculously, over the years, they were all able to keep in touch and to visit their mother, who was institutionalized for 42 years. 42 years. Remember, in the early part of the 20th century, they didn't have the medications to treat their mother's condition. And when Sister Angela's mother died in 1972, Sister wanted desperately to trace her ancestral roots. So she got permission from her religious order to go to Venice to start her search. She researched the city records in Venice, and she was blessed to locate her mother's sister, her Aunt Julia, who was 80 years old. And what an incredible, tearful reunion they had. Her aunt said, she said, we prayed for 34 years for word of our family who had moved to America. Of course, they hadn't heard that the father died and her sister was institutionalized. Her aunt had no idea. Now, at one point, her Aunt Julia took an oval picture off the wall. She took it off the wall and she showed it to Sister Angela. It was the picture of the Madonna of the Streets. And she said to Sister Angela, this is your mother. And thinking she meant the Blessed Mother, which the painting is meant to portray, Sister Angela said, yes, I know. She said, it is so beautiful, isn't it? It's the Blessed Mother. And her aunt said, no, you don't know what I mean. This is your real mother. Her aunt then explained that when her mother was a little girl, when Sister Angela's mother was a little girl, she was only 11 years old, and she was taking her baby brother out for a walk. And when she returned from the walk, she told her family that an artist had painted her. And she was so happy. She was so excited an artist painted her. Well, her mother was not so happy. and her mother swore her to secrecy because it was not proper for a young girl to pose for an artist. Well, Sister Angela's mother didn't tell anyone, and she took that secret that she was the woman in the Madonna of the streets. She took that secret all of those years to her death. She probably never knew how famous that painting had become worldwide. Well, Sister Angela, hearing this story, was deeply touched by her aunt's revelation. And it suddenly brought into focus something that took place 2 years before her mother had died. This is unbelievable. Sister Angela said that she and her brother were visiting her mother, who was now in St. Teresa's convalescent home. And her mother asked Sister Angela, "Could you take a picture of me? Take a picture of me." Well, they got the camera, and as they were about to take the picture, her mother draped a shawl about her head and shoulders and posed to her side in a profile photo, just as it is seen in the painting. Sister Angela said, "We didn't know why she did that, but we took the photo anyway." And now, many years later, after speaking with her Aunt Julia, she knew. How wonderful to see in that newspaper article two pictures side by side. One of the Madonna of the streets and one of Sister Angela's mother. The same woman, posed the same way. Was this her way of letting her family know what had taken place when she was a little girl, that an artist had painted her? Amazing. Her name was Angeline Bovo, or so they thought. But when Sister Angela looked through the records, her mother's real name was Angela. And when Sister Angela became a nun, she picked the name Angela, never knowing that her mother's name was Angela. My friends, I didn't know this when I selected the picture of the Madonna of the streets for my CD. I didn't know this story. Why has this story affected me so deeply? I'll continue with part four, another piece of the thread woven in the tapestry of my life. There's a song on the CD entitled "Encircled in Your Arms." Encircled in Your Arms, and it came about when a friend of mine, Teresa Dempsey, who is now with the Lord. Teresa was a lyricist. She wrote lyrics for songs. And she had written a poem based on a true experience that a woman had shared with her. The woman had been in a state of depression. She was unable to function. And she told, the therapist told this woman, to picture herself every day encircled in the arms of Mary. Picture herself. And the woman felt a peace as she envisioned herself in the arms of Mary. And her depression gradually lifted, and she was healed. Teresa wrote a poem on this woman's experience, and she came to me with it and said, "Grace, could you extend this poem and adapt it to Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto?" I said, "What? Adapt it to Rachmaninoff?" Well, I said, "I guess Rachmaninoff wouldn't mind." I said, "He did write a song about the Ave Maria." Well, we're going to take a break now. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, this story doesn't end. I have some wonderful things to share with you. It continues, and wait till you hear how it ends.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio, on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, it was quite a labor of love adapting this little poem to Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. And while I was working on it, I kept hearing stories of people I knew who were experiencing anxiety, depression, fear, lack of peace. And I started wondering, could this song find itself ministering to those suffering from that pain? When I completed it, I called my arranger, genius, Mr. Richard Rome, who also is now with the Lord. He arranged and he accompanied me. He arranged and accompanied me to this. And I said, "Richie, could you play the keyboard to Rachmaninoff?" And I shared with him my feelings. I said, "Richie, I feel that someday this may be used to minister to those suffering with anxiety and depression." Richie then said something to me that stunned me. He had another piece of this puzzle. Part 5, Coming Together. Richie says, "Now I'm going to tell you something. Rachmaninoff was a manic depressive. And back in the early 1900s, there was a doctor by the name of Dr. Dahl, D-A-H-L, who helped Rachmaninoff through that depression. And the first piece of music that Rachmaninoff wrote when he was healed was the second piano concerto. Is that amazing? And he dedicated that to Dr. Dahl. In fact, Richie said to me, to this day, when you look at the musical score of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, he said, you will see at the top, dedicated to Dr. Dahl, and he showed it to me, and it was there. I couldn't believe it. Now, just think of this, my friends. Just think of this. The music was born out of the healing of depression of the Russian composer Rachmaninoff in the 1900s. The lyrics of the song, born out of a woman's healing of depression, envisioning herself encircled in the arms of Mary in America in the 1980s. The painting, the Madonna of the Streets, became the cover of my CD, and it was painted in 1897 in Venice by Roberto Ferruzzi, and the woman who was the subject of that painting spent 42 years institutionalized after a mental breakdown from depression. Amazing. All of the parts of this, from different times, different centuries, different countries, different people, all for the same reason, to come together, uniting in this musical piece, to call us to stillness, to awaken the redemptive power in suffering, and point to the healing power in music and the arts. And as I look back on all of this, it came together, and I realized this could only have been done by the divine weaver, the divine healer at work in all of this. Now, I have a surprise for you, big surprise. I'm going to play the song Encircled in Your Arms, and I'm going to sing it from my CD that I'm going to have eventually. Patrick's going to play it for you. Now, I'm going to ask you to sit back in a comfortable chair. Let the strains of Rachmaninoff's music and the healing words of Encircled in Your Arms fill your being. And when it is finished, I have one more piece of this tapestry to share with you that brings this whole story full circle. Be encircled now as Patrick plays Encircled in Your Arms.
Thank you.
peace when I'm encircled in your arms, my dearest mother. Those arms that held him, arms that held him. Hold me. Hold me. Hold me. My friends, I shared five parts of this incredible story of the Madonna of the Streets. We're the very difficult to sit through this. If you're looking on Facebook, you're seeing plenty here on my face. I share this, and the one thread that was weaving through the music, the lyrics, and the painting, the one thread was the suffering that endured by the individuals involved through the depression they had all experienced. I have one last part to this story, which brings it full circle. The very person who gave me this tapestry, my dad, my father. In the latter part of his life, suffered from depression. He was hospitalized on three different occasions. It was an extremely difficult time. He had no way of knowing the history that I just shared with you about the music, the lyrics, or the painting on the tapestry that he gave me. Yet he was the instrument that God used to bring to light this extraordinary happening. Our Blessed Lady had a special gift awaiting my father. In July of 1993, I made a pilgrimage to the house of Our Lady in Ephesus, Turkey, through the kindness of Mary and Don Taranelli, who have Our Lady of Ephesus house in Vermont up here. Anyway, and it was based on another song called It Is Your Smile That Is Most Beautiful, again, that I wrote about Our Lady through the words of a visionary. And I share that on another program, and I would like to do that program again because it was something. But right now, I was preparing to go to Ephesus, and I asked my family and friends, I said, give me your petitions. Give me your petition to take to Mary's house in Ephesus. And my dad wrote his petition. He wrote it and he put it in an envelope. Hey, the only thing missing was the zip code, I think. He wrote his petition. I'm sure he wanted to be healed. I took those petitions and I placed them on the altar in Mary's house. I was in Ephesus, Turkey for 9 days. I went back there five different times. But on that first time, 9 days, when I returned, my dad was a changed man. My dad was healed. His depression had lifted. And Dad would carry around with him another picture, Our Lady of Ephesus. And I gave him a stone from her house, and he carried that. He used to walk around with an attaché case. When he was sick, he would never go outside. But he was starting to go out with that attaché case. And he said to me with his Italian accent, he said, I ran into a friend today, and he said to me, Mike, I heard you were sick. How are you feeling? I heard you were really sick. And he said, I showed my friend, I opened my attaché case, I showed him the picture of Mary and the stone, and I said to him, I was a dead man who came back to life. My friends, I heard those healing words right from my father's mouth. I was a dead man who came back to life. Our Lady encircled him in her arms. Until the day my dad died, he never experienced that depression again. My friends, it's been 127 years that have passed from the completion of this painting of the Madonna of the Streets in Venice by Roberto Ferruzzi, to the answered prayer that my dad got in Ephesus, to my sharing this with you today. And to answer the question that I began this program with today, things may not come to completion according to our plans and in our time frame. And though we may not see it happening, there is movement in our lives. I hope it doesn't take 127 years, but there is movement. And the God who truly loves you is weaving your beautiful tapestry in his time and in his way. He knows you. He sees you. He loves you. And he'll never abandon you. I'm so thrilled to have shared this story with you today. Sister Angela, whose mother is in that picture, Sister Angela taught for 30 years to children in California. And after she retired doing that, she worked with children who had needs, children who were in need. Sister Angela died June 12, 2014, only 10 years ago. I can't even imagine that reunion in heaven when Sister Angela met her mother, Angela, and they were finally able to share that deep secret that she could never share with her daughter, sharing it in the kingdom. You know, I asked my dad up there to pray for all of you, for all of your special needs. And I know he's up there with all those people I mentioned in this story. He's up there with them, and they're all praying for you for special needs. In fact, as all this music was playing, I was handed another petition here. This is for Arlene, and Arlene suffering from depression and fear. See the perfect timing of all of this. Arlene, God bless you. In my heart, I feel for you. I ask my dad specifically to go to bat for you up there, for your depression and your fear. Go to Our Lady. Sit there like that therapist taught that woman to do. Just every day, sit in the chair and picture yourself encircled in the arms of Mary. Encircled in her arms. Do that every day. Stay close to Mary. No one has seen pain and suffering like Mary has with her son hanging on a cross. All that he went through, and she had to be there and witness this. The brutality of people condemning him, calling him names, spitting on him. She witnessed it, so she knows depression and fear and suffering. She knows what you're going through, Arlene. I pray for you for that. We do have a few more intentions. I'm thrilled I'm able to go through more of these intentions that we have the time. I was a little concerned that when we would go through this story, there may not have been time. But see, the Lord works it out, doesn't he? He works it out. I pray and I thank you for Cheryl. We prayed for Cheryl, who had pancreatic cancer. She was doing well. And then all of a sudden, she started bleeding internally. And when they checked on her, they thought that maybe she had the cancer again. We prayed for Cheryl. But it wasn't that at all. What happened was she was bleeding internally from radiation that she had. So it was not the cancer. So I'm sure she was pleased to hear that news. But she's still not out of the woods. So we continue our church militant out there and we pray for Cheryl that she doesn't have to go through this again. We'll keep an eye on you, Cheryl. We'll keep an eye on you. Let's see. We have so beautiful. We have so many here. My niece, Michelle, my niece is about to go through foot surgery, and it's going to be not so easy. Michelle's a faithful listener to this radio program, an assigned Catholic radio. And she's about to have foot surgery and have it twice. When they finish with one, they have to do the other one, and a lot has to be done on both feet, okay? She thought she was going to go through it this coming weekend, but now she had some tests done and cardiac issues. They want to make sure the heart issues are okay before they put her under. So we're going to pray for you, Michelle. I love you. She's my godchild. The tough thing is she's allergic to pain medication. So we're going to have those angels up there, rub her feet, do something on those feet to keep that pain away from her during this difficult time. You hang in there, Michelle. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. And let's see. We have a number of things here. Marilyn. Marilyn's in a convalescent home, suffering from diabetic neuropathy. She's in constant pain. Her legs and feet, she's always swollen with her legs. They turn colors blue and purple. At times they're bleeding. She's had numerous surgeries. She cries a lot, and at times she wants to die. She feels like she's being punished. Oh, Marilyn. Oh, I could just cry for you, Marilyn, because you're not being punished. You're walking with Jesus Christ. You're right in his footsteps. You're suffering as he suffered. People like you are called victim souls, who are so precious to the heart of God. You're a victim soul with what you're going through and your suffering. And we're going to keep praying for you. No, you're not being punished. You are very, very special. You are a special human being. And you know something? You have no idea how many souls are getting into heaven through the pain of your suffering. It's a mystery. We don't understand mystery. But when you get to heaven, my friend, you're going to have a bunch of people run up to you who are going to thank you that they got there because of Marilyn's suffering. God bless you. God bless you. We pray here for Anne. Anne has skin cancer all over her face. Her husband passed away 4 or 5 months ago. They were married for 60 years. And she's now settled in a mother-in-law's quarters. And fortunately, someone's there to care for her. That's wonderful. But Anne, how difficult for you. Probably don't even want to look in a mirror when you see that skin cancer. But we're going to pray for your healing. We're going to pray for that. We're going to pray. You know how the Lord, you hear people who have the stigmata like Padre Pio. Imagine what he went through every day, seeing the bleeding coming through his hands and everything. Every day, all the wounds of Christ. We go to Padre Pio for you. He knows what was happening with your skin. We go to him for you, and we pray for you. We pray for you. Let's see. We have Nettie. Nettie had cancer. She had chemo. Cancer went from her colon to the kidney. And at the end of the month, she's going to have her second cancer operation on the kidney. Now, if they can't remove what is there, they might have to remove the whole kidney. And just be at peace, Nettie. I know it's easy for me to say, but the Lord knows you. He sees you. He knows what you're going through and knows that you're going through a couple of times here, second cancer operation. So just know that the Lord has his hand on you and he's watching over you. I pray here for Janet. Janet is in home hospice. Janet was my associate in my special healing ministry through music. She worked with me all the time to bring these concerts together. And a few days on May 25th, it's her birthday, same as Padre Pio, the same birthday. And she went through a difficult time with emotional issues and dementia and so on. She's now in home hospice. Janet, we love you so much. My family loves you, and we're praying for you. We're praying for you right now. We're praying for you. Let's see. By the way, we played Encircled in Your Arms, adapted to Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto. And I just want to acknowledge my friend Mary DeAngelis, because that song, I cannot get in Mary's car and not hear the song playing, okay? She plays all the time. I said, aren't you sick of this? You hear it? She says, no, no, no. She says, tell them. The last part, those arms that held him, hold me. So I say that for you, Mary. I know you wanted everyone to hear that, so I did that. I did get that in for you. And Donna's daughter, Kristen. Kristen, we prayed for her. She had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And we prayed for her and found out from her mother that she is doing better. So we will continue those prayers for Kristen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, all of you. This has been a day where we have seen some results in these prayers, and it's so wonderful to hear that. So wonderful. The communion of saints. Communion of saints. My, we pray for Loretta. Loretta has numerous issues, macular degeneration. She's going blind. She's a diabetic, has heart issues that cause her breathing problems, and she is in a wheelchair. Oh, Loretta, God bless you. God bless you. It has not been easy for you. The Lord knows you. The Lord walks with you again everything you have. A dear victim soul, you are. You are getting people in heaven. I know sometimes you say, well, am I going to get to heaven? I don't want my pain. And we know that. The Lord knows that more than anyone. But he's not going to abandon you. Never, 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 never abandon you. So, so wonderful. We're praying for Louise's brother-in-law, Frank. Brother-in-law, Frank, he was on a ventilator. Went into slight pneumonia. He was in an induced coma. Tests showed internal bleeding from a stomach ulcer, and now showing signs of awareness. In fact, what they did was they discharged him to home hospice. They discharged him to home hospice. So he got home. But since he's been home, he has already fallen 5 times. He can't be there. They're looking into a place for him now. And the word here is that Frank is not going to like this. Well, oh my goodness. He had signed a do not resuscitate. We call upon the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday is Sunday. We pray, come Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up your rest. Come with thy pain and heavenly rest. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to fill the hearts which thou hast made. You filled his heart. Now fill that Holy Spirit through his body and let the family know how they are to handle him, what they are to do with him. That is special. We have some wonderful, wonderful prayers here. My goodness. Let's see. I want to make sure I get most of these in before we sign off. Let's see. Sharon's friend, Miss Crystal's on dialysis. So difficult, dialysis. My mom was on dialysis. The age of 85, they put her on. Ooh, what a year she had. But hoping Miss Crystal is younger and she can get through this a lot easier. We pray for her, for Sharon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Well, we thank you so much. I thank you for being here. Forgive me for all the tears you shed today. I'm kind of weepy when I hear that music. So I love you. Thank you. You are the communion of saints. You are healing many, many people through your prayers. And I thank you for that. I can't do this without you. And Kathleen be the first one to say she can't either. So when you get a chance, send a little donation to In His Sign Catholic Radio. You can find it on your computers, In His Sign Catholic Radio. I love you. I love you. And so does Mary. And so does Jesus. And so does Roberto Ferruzzi and the Madonna of the Streets.